الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين من respected علماء elders, brothers in Islam, these ayats of the Quran Sharif which I have recited is actually the object and the purpose of why we are having this Islahi Jalsa. So inshallah, very briefly, for those who do not know, and a reminder for those who know, we will just discuss basically what is Islah, what is Reformation, what are we speaking about, and what is the need for it, what is the benefit of it, and finally, how will a person get this, and does every single person need it or not, until when do we need it. So inshallah, in these ayats of the Quran Sharif, we will try to explain it, to make us understand the importance of Islah, of Reformation, the benefits of it, and how will we acquire it. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif mentions the benefit. Before mentioning the work also, Allah says, I'll give you the benefit first. First the benefit, so we get encouraged towards it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the benefit is, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. If you want success. Today the whole world is running after success. I want success. And unfortunately, they are looking for success in the wrong places. Our Shaykh Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib Dawan Barakatuhum gives a beautiful example. And Hazrat says that there was a person who was looking for a gold coin of his which he had lost. So he was standing in the street, lights, looking for it for about 10-15 minutes. So one of his friends came by him and said, you know what, can I help and assist you? I'm your friend. What are you looking for? He said, I lost my gold coin. He said, oh, you lost a gold coin. Let me help you. So he's also looking for 10-15 minutes with him. So then our friends, after a while, they ask one another, you know what, explain to me, where did you lose your gold coin? So he says, you know, I lost my gold coin in my 10 shanty. So he says, you lost it in your 10 shanty and you're looking for it here in the street lights. He says, yes, because it's more light. It's brighter out there. So Hazrat says, you can look for it till the cows go home. Till Qiyamah you can carry on looking for it outside, you'll never find it. You have to go back in the dark tent shanty. There's no lights there. You put your hand around, you feel around, eventually you will find it. So unfortunately we are looking for peace of mind and contentment, success, happiness in this world. We are looking for it in the bright lights of the kuffar system, the non-Muslim system, in wealth, in possession, in enjoyments of the world. And we are looking for our peace of mind and contentment there. And you can carry on looking for it there, you will never ever find it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator and sustainer. And Allah knows exactly what is beneficial for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want success, I am telling you where the success is. Some people unfortunately feel success is in money. If you've got a lot of money, then you are successful. If that was the case, then Fir'aun, Qarun, he should have been the most successful person in history. Because he had a lot of money. So much of money, that the animals had to, jamaat of people had to carry his wealth. So that's not success in that. If success was in beauty, Abu Lahab was a very, very handsome person. He was called Abu Lahab, the father of fire, because his face was very, very radiant. So if success was in beauty, then he would have been the most successful. His wife was very, very beautiful. Her name was Umme Jamil, the mother of beauty. She was called the mother of beauty. But Allah Ta'ala said, Fiji diya ablum mim masad. Around her neck also, that rope is twined around it. And she passed away in that very, very disgraceful manner. So if beauty is no success. If a person feels in my enjoyment, if I fulfill my sexual desires, I can do what I want to, is enjoyment in that, then the people of the world would not be committing suicide. It is mentioned in statistics that Switzerland is the most richest country in the world. A lot of wealth, so much wealth they've got there, that if nobody works for 3 or 4 years, they've got so much of money, that there's enough money in the country to look after the people. Normally in other countries of the world, at the end of the year, they have the, you check up your budget, you do, and you see how much money deficit you've got. Now we have to charge taxes to the people. They don't have deficit, they have surplus. And they have to decide now in their mashwaras, where must we invest our money? So much of money. And the laws in that country are open, very, very open. What and what evil the person wants to do, he can do it. The most evil sins is open for a person. But the most amount of suicides in the world takes place in that country. It is immorality to the peak. So if in fulfilling one's desires there was success, then these people would not have been committing suicide. So in all of these things, if a person was a king, and position and name and fame was success, then Fir'aun would have been the most successful person. But he was completely destroyed. So in all of these things there is no success. Allah Ta'ala is the creator of man, and Allah knows exactly where our success is. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. If you want success, and success actually has got nothing to do with outside things. As Mullah Abdul Hamid Sa'ad wa Barakatuh said, success is not something outside. Every person's success is within himself. If your success and your failure depends upon yourself, upon your heart, upon what is within you, it has nothing to do with the person outside. So not what the other person is doing to me, what his harm is causing to me, what the other people are doing. It's myself, what is within myself. That is where a person is successful or unsuccessful. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. 100% is successful, is that person. مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This is the benefit you will get by making islah, by reforming yourself. Allah is giving you success. You're going to get success in this world. And Allah Ta'ala used the word in the Quran, aflaha, which is the past tense. And this, according to the people of Arabic, they understand that this success means it's definite, 100%. There's no doubt. And وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah says the success in this, it can never ever be wrong. It can never ever be wrong. Allah Ta'ala says successful is the person who has become purified. Who has become purified. Another place Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. A person who is purifying himself, he's also successful, he's on the road still. But then the person who has already become purified, he has made the effort and he has become purified, this person is 100% successful. So this is a person that has to make an effort to become purified. What must a person purify? The purification of the heart. Which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith says, that in the body there is one piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is sound and right, then the whole body will be correct. But if this piece of flesh is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt. Everything will not work right. Allah wa hiya al-qalb. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the heart. A person has to make effort on the heart. What tazkiyah does a person have to make? Well, let's give you a few examples. When a person purifies himself, the different parts of his body, and he purifies the heart, then how much of success Allah will give him in this world already? In the qabr also, and on the day of qiyamah. For example, our Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was an expert in this field of looking after the eyes. He says that this is my mission in life, to take out people from romantic and illicit love affairs and to bring them to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So generally throughout the world, Hazrat used to say this is a sickness which afflicts 99% of the ummah. They can't control their gazes. So a person who he successfully has purified his eyes and purified his private parts, this person is successful already. What enjoyment he will get in this world? Our Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sa'ad wa Barakatuh mentions that a person who looks after his gaze, the first ni'mat and bounty Allah will give him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him enjoyment in his own wife. Today generally a person, he finds it very, very difficult to control his eyes. And now we're finding faults with our wives, we're fighting with our wives, no enjoyment with our wives. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَزْنُوا فَتَذْهَبَ لَزَّةُ نِسَائِكُمْ. Do not make zina, do not fornicate. And fornicate doesn't only mean final action of fornication, adultery, but any kind of fornication. He said the result of this is the enjoyment of your woman will be taken away from you. You won't get enjoyment in your wives. So many, many people having problems at home, fighting with their wives, because why they're not getting enjoyment. And why they're not getting enjoyment, they are not looking after their gaze. So the first benefit, if you have purified your eyes, you're already living a life of jannat in this world, because you're getting enjoyment in your wife. And then our Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi, which we heard from our Hazrat many, many times, he gave this beautiful example to explain that how is it that when a person doesn't look at other women, Allah gives him enjoyment in his wife. So he says, for example, there is one person, he goes to work every morning, and he's a very poor person, he doesn't take lunch with him. So he goes to the shop, and now lunchtime comes, he's very, very hungry, and his friend, one of them has brought biryani, one of them brought akni, one of them brought some samosas and pies, or whatever it is. So he's a person who hasn't got much honor and shame. So he goes to them and he says, hey, what's the time? He asks them the time. So they say, you know what, we're eating lunch. You can sit. He says, lunchtime. He says, join us. So he says, no, no problem. He sits down. First person, eats a little bit biryani there. Then he goes by the person with the akni. He eats that akni also. He goes by the next person. So he eats to his full. He's nice and full now. Now he comes back home now. And his wife, what she got at home? Some little bit dal roti. So he comes home and the wife puts the dal roti in front. He says, you every day you got the same dal roti, and he starts fighting with her, and the food you can't make nice, and you like this, and you like that. And he starts fighting with her. Why? Because he has eaten to his full. He's eaten nicely. But if he was an honorable person, Salat time he went into the room, Jamaat Khana, Musalla, he performed his namaz there. And then he comes out after that, and now he goes to the he comes back to work, he doesn't eat anybody else's food. Now when he comes home, even if there was no salt in that food, but that thing will be most enjoyable to him, most delicious to him. So Hazrat says, in a similar manner, every person has got desire for woman. Allah has created within a person. If a person is honorable and he doesn't look at any other woman, Allah has created this desire within him. Now when he will come home, now he will get enjoyment with his wife. Because now he was controlling himself. So now the wife, no matter how ugly she looks, Allah will make her look beautiful for him. But if he was looking around at all the biryanis and all the aknis who are walking around in the streets all dolled up, then when he comes home to his dal, he's going to find enjoyment. But if you stayed away from those biryanis and aknis, and now you come by your dal also, how much of enjoyment you get from her? How much of pleasure you get from her? So this is the one great benefit a person will get in this dunya already. See how much of success. Allah will make your wife look beautiful for you. Today, unfortunately, a person has got a sickness. And these are what Islam means, to reform ourselves, to take ourselves out from these gunas. And many, many people felt it's impossible. Me, I have to look at women. I can't stay away. Never mind looking at women. Pornography has become my pastime. I'm sitting next to my wife in the bed. And unfortunately, these are cases. Sitting next to my wife in the bed, and I'm sitting and looking at the pornography. And then a person after that wants to go to his wife. And then how can he expect a happy marriage? He's living a life of Jahannam in this world already. And he will never ever get enjoyment. A person watches television, and he's watching those filthy films on television, and day after he looks at his wife, I can guarantee you he'll never ever find happiness in his life. Because that woman on the television is a deception. She's a dhoka. And when you are looking at her, it's impossible. That woman in real life is not so beautiful also. She's just been dolled up. She's a deception. So if you're looking at her for half an hour, 1 hour, you're watching TV, and then you look at your wife, you'll never ever be happy. That is why many, many youngsters, when they get married nowadays, they expect that what we saw on TV, what we saw on films, that is married life. So they're living a fantasy life, and then they come, they see their wives are not like that. They don't look so beautiful. Then they feel upset. Then they walk on a high, they come right down. There's no happiness in that marriage. But a person who looked after his gaze, now even if he gets one old fat lady also, he is very, very happy. Because why? He never saw a woman before. That is why in the past eras, because there was so much of parda, hijab, then people, whoever they got married to, they lived very happily their whole lives. There was no, my wife looks like this, and you're looking at somebody else's wife. Or Hazrat says that if your car, you're driving, and your alignment is off, instead of driving, moving straight, you're moving to the right and you're moving to the left, and you better go to the mechanic and check up your car. He says similarly, if you, instead of looking at your wife, you're looking at your wife's sister, or you're looking at your neighbor's wife, then your alignment is also off. You better go for a check up to the spiritual doctor. And it's very, very easy. A person that makes a bit of mujahada and sacrifice, he can save his gaze. And from there he will get the enjoyment of his wife. The other great benefit a person will get in this world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who is walking on the street, and a beautiful woman is walking past him, and he learns how to control his gaze, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create in his heart the halawat of iman, the sweet taste of iman. Yajidu halawatahu fi qalbi, will actually feel that enjoyment of iman in his heart. Such enjoyment Allah will give that person. So now when a person is making tilawat of Quran, he will get enjoyment. Because our hearts at the moment are filthy and dirty. We're performing salat, we get no enjoyment. Whereas ulama say that the greatest enjoyment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Bilal, let us get enjoyment in our salat. Arihna ya Bilal bis salah. Let us get rest and comfort in salat. Any problems turn towards salah. There's enjoyment in salah. But because our hearts are filthy and dirty, we have to remove that filth and dirt. A lovely place of biryani is placed in front of a person. But he's sick. He doesn't feel like eating that biryani. But remove the sickness from that person. Now let give him that biryani, he'll finish up one plate, he'll want for another plate. That is why we understand our Buzrugani Deen. The whole night they would stand reading salat, and they would get enjoyment and want more salat and more salat. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, 30 paras, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, 60 paras in Ramadan, day and night, 60 paras a day, he used to recite, 61 khatams in the month of Ramadan. Where they got that energy from? Because person says it's mad, I can't understand it, but he gets enjoyment in watching cricket commentary. 12 hours he's sitting up, he doesn't feel tired at all. Next day he goes to work, he comes 5 days, he's watching the matches, he doesn't get tired. Where he gets the energy? He gets enjoyment in that. When our hearts become clean, we will get enjoyment in salat. When we get this halawat of iman, all our ibadat, all our actions of worship, we will get enjoyment in there. Then see how a person will perform it. So this is where the true enjoyment a person will get in this world. When a person just looking after his eyes, one thing he made tazkiyah of, one thing he purified, he reformed, such enjoyment a person will get. Another sickness which is amongst people is, for example, anger. Anger is a very common sickness amongst people, and many people feel, I'm very, very angry. So what does Islah mean? Islah and reformation means, I must learn how to control my anger. And what great benefits a person will get. And it's not difficult staying by the mashayikh, Buzrugani Deen, and ask them that I got a sickness within myself, how can I cure it? And like how a person is sick, he got a certain sickness, for years he's got it. His friend tells him, my friend, go to the doctor. He's a specialist. You go to the specialist, he gives you one medication. and you take it and you're shocked. In 2-3 days time, the sickness which you had for 20 years is gone away. You're surprised. You said, I could never have come out from the sickness. This medication is very, very powerful. I used it, I'm right now. Similarly, a person in Islam, he got anger, such anger, he can't control himself. But he takes the medication which the Mashaykh prescribes, his spiritual doctor prescribes. He makes his Islam. He's shocked that my anger, which I thought was impossible to come out, and today it has come out from me. What great benefits there are in controlling one's anger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we'll mention 3 hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just by learning how to look after one's anger, see how much of success a person will get. The one great benefit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man kaffa ghadabahu sadarallahu alayhi. You control your anger, Allah will conceal your faults. Allah will hide your faults. Allah will hide your faults in this world also. Allah will hide your faults on the day of Qiyamah also, and in Jannah also. Forever Allah will hide your faults. Just by controlling your anger. The second great benefit a person will get, mala Allahu qalbahu amnan wa imanan. Allah will fill up his heart with iman. Allah will increase iman in that person's heart. And Allah will give him peace of mind and contentment in his heart. By getting angry and shouting and swearing, you're not getting any happiness. You get actually agitating yourself more. Your heart pressure, your blood pressure is going up. You're going to get more sick. Tomorrow you'll be in hospital. You're not benefiting anybody. But by controlling your anger, aman and peace will come in a person's heart. And the third great benefit, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man kazama ghaydan. A person who controls his anger, wa huwa qadirun ala yunafidahu. And he's got the ability to vent his anger. He can shout, he can get angry. And especially where this happens at home with the wife. A person is angry with his wife. And he says, I'm going to make man's meat out of you today. And Hazrat Hakim sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that anger is a deceptive thing, it's a big deception. A person, he only takes out the anger on the people smaller than him. A person bigger than him, he doesn't take out the anger. And when somebody, he says, then he takes out, lifts up his sleeves and he says, hold me back, hold me back. Why is he saying hold me back? Because he knows the guy will give him a good hiding, so he has to act like, hold me back, hold me back. And if somebody is smaller, then we take out our vent, our anger. Then a person goes wild. So much so, Abu Surghani Deen has mentioned, that to hit in the state of anger is haram. To hit somebody in the state, even if you're a ustad in a madrasa, a person is a father, to hit in the state of anger is haram. What a person has to do is to first control himself, cool his anger down. After his anger is cooled, then he must think that what is the punishment I must give? And then a person must give the punishment. So much so the ulama have mentioned also that how much can a person hit? Is that permissible, for example, to hit somebody, slap him on his face, slap him on his head? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us, don't hit a child on the head, animal on the head, on the face. How is it permissible for a person ever to hit his children, to slap his wife on the face? This is completely an animal action. So if a person is angry with his wife, he's hitting her, it's not her fault, something wrong with him. He's thinking, my wife is like this, she's like this, she got this quality within herself. But it's not her, she's not the problem. You're the problem, you are sick in your heart. You haven't got control over your anger, so you've got a problem. So these are three things, three great benefits a person will get by looking after his anger. The third benefit is, Allah Ta'ala will call him on the day of Qiyamah. And in front of the whole of makhluk, Allah will say, whichever hoor of Jannah you want, you can choose any one of them. So just by controlling your anger one time, you'll get the hoor of Jannah. So if every day your wife makes you angry, alhamdulillah, every day you're getting a hoor of Jannah. Such a great bounty. Only when she gets angry with you, and she's swearing you and shouting you, and you're controlling your anger, don't smile and think of the hoors of Jannah, because she'll get more angry with you then. And in your heart you can think that, yeah, I'm getting one hoor of Jannah, yeah, just make a little bit sabr, yeah. For a short while. So easy to control one's anger, and what benefits a person will get. So in this world also you will get benefits on the day of Qiyamah. Another thing which we have to make tasqiyah of, which we have to make islah of, reform ourselves, is our tongue. A person has to learn how to control his tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man samata naja. A person who keeps quiet, he's safe from many, many faults, many, many problems. Once Hazrat Hakim sahab rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, there was one woman, she, her husband was always beating her up. She always had a problem. She went to one Maulana sahab, Maulana, please, I need a taweez. So Maulana said, I got a very, very powerful taweez. You use this taweez, as soon as your husband comes home, I'm giving you this paralupani, this water here, you put this in your mouth. But there's only one condition, as long as it remains in your mouth, your husband will never hit you. As long as the water remains there, the minute you swallow the water up, then the effect of the taweez will go away. So anyhow, she tried it. As soon as the husband came home that day, she quickly drank that one sip of that paralupani, or that water which Maulana gave her. And now she, husband came in the house. That day, first day, he never hit her, he never get angry with her. She was shocked. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that water got finished now. She went to Maulana Sahib, Hazrat, what a taweez this is. Such a powerful taweez. Once in 4 weeks my husband hit me. So then the Maulana started laughing. He said, actually, you know what, this is just normal, ordinary water. But I realize the problem in your house is whenever your husband comes home, he says something, you've got 10 answers for him. Then he gets angry. A man, he can't control his anger. The woman, she'll beat him with the tongue. So then he gets angry with this. She tells him one, two things. He gets angry. Now he starts beating her up. So the minute you kept the water in your mouth, that woman couldn't, you couldn't speak. So husband is telling you whatever, you're just keeping quiet. So that's why you got safe from hiding. So how a person who learns to control his tongue, remember whatever a person speaks in life, he can never take back those words. If you never said something, and many times we tell our wives maybe something very, very hurtful, and she remembers it for the next 10 years. Our Hazrat says that after you have broken, you got a glass, and you've broken the glass, now you want to fill water inside there. How can a person fill water? After you have broken the heart of that woman, which is more delicate than a glass, you told her such hurtful words, you swore her parents, you spoke evil about her parents, and now suddenly you want to make love to her, you want to show muhabbat to her, you want to show closeness to her, how is she ever going to accept that then? You are deceiving yourself. So when a person learns how to control his anger, a person has to make islah of this year. Lying today has become so common. Very, very easy. A person lies. He goes to the doctor, he will say, I want a certificate, I'm sick. But it's all, he's speaking lies. One person, he told his boss, my grandmother passed away, my grandfather passed away. So then after 1 week, he came, so his boss asked him, did you believe in reincarnation? He took off from work. He said, you believe in reincarnation? He says, no. He said, how come then your grandfather came in to meet you today? Last week you said your grandfather passed away for his janazah. But today he came in the morning, so you must be believing in reincarnation. So when a person speaks lies, how he gets caught out? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, angels run away 1 mile away. Run 1 mile away when a person speaks lies. Now you spoke lies, you couldn't control your tongue. You spoke lies. The angels have gone away. Now there is no protection for you. Now you're having problems at home. The burglar, crooks are coming in the house. And you're feeling, why? I had my best security company. The best security company is the angels. You chase them away. You brought pictures in your house. You're keeping pictures in your house. The angels are running away. They're not staying in the house. And now you're expecting, why is Allah's mercy not coming in my house? Why are there so much problems and fights in my house? So our tongue, our speaking, this year also has a very, very great effect. If a person learns how to control his tongue, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who gives me guarantee of 2 parts, azman lahul jannah, I give him guarantee of jannah. 2 parts, ma bayna lahyayhi wa ma bayna rijlayhi, between his jaws and between his thighs, his private parts and his tongue. You give me guarantee of these 2 things, I guarantee you jannah. So this is what a person has to make this key of. A person has to purify himself, save himself from takabbur and pride. Today, man tawaza alillah rafa'ahu Allah. Every person has got pride. I am somebody. He never invited me for the da'wat. He never invited me for his wedding. And we get angry. Why does a person get angry generally? It's because of pride. Why do we get angry at home? Because our wife told us something. So a person can't humble himself that I am actually worse than the dead. As one of our Buzurgani Deen, I think it was Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullahi, one of our elders, somebody told him something that you are like this and like this. Immediately he said, you know what, actually I'm worse than the day. What you're telling me, you are still thinking good of me, I'm worse than that. So when this reality comes into a person, now if somebody doesn't invite you for a da'wah, you don't feel offended, you feel I am nothing at all. This is tawazu, humility. When a person really feels in his heart, I am nothing, he humbled himself for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will raise that person. But we are full of pride and takabur. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who's got pride, he will not get the fragrance of Jannah also. So for 1 atom's weight of pride, he won't even get the fragrance of Jannah. So a person has got pride, so we have to make islah, that we have to reform ourselves. Today a person makes little bit of ibadat. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi writes, Sallal haiku raka'atain, wantadhar al-wahya. The carpenter, he read 2 rakas extra namaz today, now he's waiting for wahi to come down. I'm such a pious person, I must get wahi and revelation. Little bit ibadat extra we do, and we are the greatest pious, most pious person. Our Hazrat says, in Ramadan, a person sits for itikaf, he sits 10 days, or to whole month of Ramadan. And now he's very, very pious. He goes home and his wife tells him, go and buy potatoes. She never even asked him, how's your itikaf? How much ibadat you made? And he gets angry. She's asking me to buy potatoes. She doesn't know what a pious person I am. I must go to the shops. So this is pride which comes into a person. And as soon as a person starts making a little bit of ibadat, any good action, he starts doing some khidmat of deen, pride comes into a person. A person has to make a special effort to purify himself from pride. And the more khidmat of deen, for example, the more wealth a person has got, the more knowledge a person has got, pride definitely and automatically comes into a person. And without a special effort to remove this pride, it will never ever come out. Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say that pride is an atom bomb. It's an atom bomb. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of years of ibadat, that pride can destroy a person completely. No matter how much of ilm you've got, how much of knowledge you've got, how much of wealth you've got, how much of status you've got, all of these things create pride within a person. And a person has to really humble himself, he has to break himself. And normally a person cannot do this himself. He needs a sheikh. He needs somebody in front of him to help and assist him. So when a person saves himself, one last point we will mention, there are many other sicknesses also, but this is what Islam is. To reform ourselves from these sicknesses, a person has got jealousy, hasad within himself. And all the time he's looking to lower another person's status. and he can't see another person who's got up in, is gone up in life, that my neighbor has got a better house than me, he's got a better car than me. So he's burning inside. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this, iyaka wal hasad, beware of hasad and jealousy. Because jealousy eats up a person's good actions, like how fire eats up firewood. Fire comes and destroys the firewood. Jealousy destroys a person completely. Now a person, we see another person, he's giving a better bayan than us. And now jealousy comes into a person. At this time, now a person, what and what he can do, he starts making hibat about that person, backbiting about that person. Then he starts making plans against that person. That person is more wealthier than me. And sometimes it leads, the ulama say that the first guna which took place on the surface of the earth, and the first guna which took place in the heavens was jealousy. In Jannat, Shaitan was the first person who was jealous. He was jealous of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It led him to such that he actually broke the commands of Allah Ta'ala because he was jealous. And in this world, the first sin was jealousy. Where Qabil was jealous of his brother Habil. And because of that, he was actually prepared to kill his brother. This is where jealousy leads a person to. Hasad and jealousy. That's why the last ayat of the Quran, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَد. Ulama said that the sum total of all the evil characteristics lend up to hasad and jealousy. A person now becomes jealous. After all the evil qualities a person has got, the worst is jealousy, which is the sum total of all the evil characteristics of a person. And you are living in jealousy, you are living in fire. You are burning all the time, and you are upset. So these are things which a person has to make effort for. This is what is called Islah. We have to reform ourselves. Mawlana Shawari Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, if some harm has come to your Muslim brother, he's your enemy also. You don't like him. Some harm has come to him. And in your heart you feel happy. Even on your tongue you say that, you know what? And we are not, it's not within our control also. What's in the heart, this comes into a person's heart, it's not in his control. But even though we're saying that we're very sorry about it, but in our heart we are happy about it. He says that this is a sign of imperfection still within a person, that you're not perfect still. He says the remedy for this is make a lot of dua for that person. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will remove that imperfection within a person's self. Continue making dua. We should make dua for one another. And especially those people we don't like, make more dua for that person. So then inshallah, Allah will remove the jealousy from us. Otherwise, a person is living in Jahannam in this world already. So these are a few basic things. There are many, many other sicknesses. Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful is the person who purified, who has become purified. How will a person become purified? وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَسَوَلَّهِ. He makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can't take the name of Allah ta'ala yourself. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ingredient which should purify the heart. But you need somebody to help you to apply the polish on your heart. So the wali of Allah, your sheikh, your spiritual doctor, you can open a medical book and start reading the what I got cold, I've got cancer, I must take this medication, open to the internet. How many prescriptions you'll get. But you'll never become cured. It's very, very difficult to cure yourself. But when you've got a spiritual guide, he will guide you. You can make a mistake here, you can make a mistake here. If you're coming from Johannesburg to Lens, and you've got somebody in the car who's been on the road hundreds of times, it's very, very easy. You just sit in the car, you're happy. He tells you, turn here, in a short while you're in Lens. But if you're following a map, and you're trying, looking this way, that way, sometimes you might meet an accident, you go on the wrong road, half an hour extra it took you. Have a guide, very, very quickly you will be there. So taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful, it will remove the sicknesses from a person. And then for Sallallahu Allah says, now you make connection with me. After making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're becoming purified. Once the heart becomes purified, Allah automatically will come in the heart of that person. And this is the actual object of tazkiyah. Two things. One is to purify our heart, and number two, to bring Allah in our heart. Then you read namaz and salat. And salat is actually communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say salat comes from the word silatun. It joins you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In salat, we're actually supposed to feel connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, this is what you must make effort for. This is where your success is in your Islam, in your reformation. But Allah Ta'ala says, why are people not doing it? فَلْتُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You're giving preference to this worldly life. Because of my name, my fame, my status. What people will say, how must I humble myself before one sheikh? And I must ask him for prescriptions. I've got so much of money, what will happen to all my money? Nothing will happen to it. Only you will start using it in the correct way. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't give preference to this worldly life. Remember, you have to leave this world one day. Make your Islah, purify yourself. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Akhirat is far, far better, and that is what you must prepare for. That is what you must make your object of life. Inna hadha lafi suhufil ula suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. This is nothing new. It's not only in the Quran Sharif. In the past kitabs from the time of Musa alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, you've been giving the same message that you have to purify your heart, you have to make yourself a better person. This is what Islah is. Islah is not anything funny that all dreams, a person is having a lot of dreams and a person is flying on in the sky and a person is doing all funny things. Unfortunately, tasawuf and Islah, many people have taken it the wrong meaning. Some people, it's only zikr. You only must make zikr all the time. But no care and fikr for your Islah, for reforming yourselves, for becoming a better person, for removing the sicknesses of the heart, and for building up the ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr is a very important part, but it's not the only thing in tasawuf in Islah. Islah is the whole thing. A person has to change himself, change his life, and it becomes very, very easy. when you will have a spiritual doctor. And there are different Allah that create in our country, alhamdulillah, many, many spiritual doctors. The actual aim of this Islahi Jalsa is that whoever our heart desires, whichever wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our heart is inclined towards, where we feel I will sit in his company and my sicknesses will come out and I will be able to purify myself and cleanse myself and I can become a better person. So that person, a person should take bayat to that person. He should sit in the company of that person, pledge allegiance to him. And this bayat is from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and it has continued throughout the centuries. So this is why a person goes to this mashayikh. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have tried very, very briefly to explain what is this Islah, what is this Islah Jalsa we are having. It's not just we are having to calling the brothers together, but this is a maqsad and the aim of our life. It's for our whole life. Allah ta'ala says that this action, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, your tazkiyah has to continue till death. Even if you're a sheikh yourself, you can't say, no, I'm okay now. I don't need my Islah. Continuously, your whole life, a person has to make Islah. A person has to reform himself. Great, great mashayikh in the world. Mufti Taqi Usman is a great person. What a great personality. He was better to Mullah Abdul Hanif al-Puri rahmatullahi alayhi. What a great mufti. After his sheikh passed away, Mullah Masullah rahmatullahi alayhi. After he passed away, he took back to, forgot his name now. He was living in Pakistan. Very, very great sheikh. And he passed away about 2 or 3 years ago. Was one of the Khalifas of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani. I was spending some time in the company of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi. Such a great mufti, if he feels also, I am in need of tazkiyah, so where are me and you and normal, ordinary people like us? Definitely we need somebody to guide us. So may Allah Ta'ala grant myself firstly, all of us the tawfiq and ability to have this fikr for our Islah, for our reformation, and go in this path to getting the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and purifying our heart. Inshallah, after the Maghrib Salah, the program will continue. We humbly request all of brothers to participate. Inshallah, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.